on, you fantasy freaks and geeks. I'm James Coe. You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. Joined alongside an oatmeal-eating, yogurt-eating MG Marcus Grant in the house.
What's up? Early, man. Like, you know, we're doing this earlier and earlier every week, it seems like, so I got to get the breakfast in.
I know. You know what? Dare say not cool. Dare say.
What, him eating his breakfast or us having to do this earlier and earlier?
Us having to do this earlier and earlier. I got up at 5 in the morning today. I don't know how I feel. Actually, I do know how I feel about that. I feel not great.
Marcus and I have had this discussion before. For some reason, fantasy has become like the redheaded stepchild around here.
What do you mean? Wait. Become?
Yeah, I mean, more apparent.
I've been here a long time, dude.
More apparent.
It's always been.
Despite all our great metrics and all our fantastic fans and the people that play the game and watch the show, we just keep getting shoved around here. So, whatever. We'll put up with it. We'll fight. We'll put out great content.
Tweet at NFL Commish. Help us out.
I'm sure Roger will read those tweets.
Oh, yeah.
Diligently. You heard the magical voice of the fabulous one.
Magical.
Yes,
wow.
Absolutely. Thank Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, in the house as well. And the man behind the glass, helping us produce everything here. And really, the straw that stirs the drink.
Daryl Strawberry? Reggie Jackson?
No, that would be Alex Gilhar.
Oh, okay.
The Whiz Kid from Wisconsin. What's up, man?
Not too much. I've got some coffee here. It was weird this morning, though, waking up to come into the podcast, because at my apartment, I can see Nakatomi Plaza from Die Hard.
Yes.
And normally, it's illuminated as the sun is rising behind it.
Sure.
Pitch black today. So I hope John McClane's all right over there.
I used to live right by there, and I would call it my Nakatomi walk, because I would walk past that building.
My balcony overlooks Century City, and Nakatomi Plaza is just standing right there. So every morning or whenever I leave, I'm like, there it is.
So I mean, when and if you have a get together at your apartment, when people walk in, you have to yell, "Welcome to the party, pal!"
This is actually correct.
I was not expecting that this morning.
An interesting discussion we jumped into.
I like it. All right, let me get around to the Twitter handles as well. Of course, follow the NFL Fantasy Twitter handle, at NFL Fantasy. Alex Gilhar can be found at Alex Gilhar, G-E-L-H-A-R, I believe is the Twitter handle.
That is
although I'm lobbying for him to change his Twitter handle. I'm lobbying to change it to The Wiz. I'm at James D. Coe, spelled K-O-H, at Marcus G.
Yep.
Marcus with an interesting spelling, M-A-R-C-A-S.
My parents have doomed me to a lifetime of misspelled mail.
And at Michael_Fabiano.
There you go.
Are your Twitter handles to follow. And, of course, go to the website NFL.com/fantasy. All right, let's get right into the top headlines. Wiz? All right, the top headlines, and we start on Thursday night. Where else? Denver at KC. Peyton Manning, man, he had himself a good fantasy day. But if you watch the game itself, did it answer any of the reservations you had about Peyton Manning?
Nope.
None at all.
Nope.
Dude, it was his first game with more than 15 fantasy points since week 12 of last year, including the playoffs. So basically he's had one good game in his last seven.
Good is a relative term.
And
Marcus and I were talking before we came in here. He threw like seven interceptable balls.
He did.
If that bounced a couple other ways, it's a slobber knocker, and he has like 10 points again.
Yep.
If that. The beneficiary, of course, was Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, he just went crazy.
Yeah. And you've also got to give some credit to Demaryius Thomas. He made some catches.
Unbelievable.
Where the ball could have been intercepted.
Easily. Or tipped,
so
at least.
His receiver saved him somewhat last night.
I will agree with that. And you know, I'll say this. I will give Peyton credit there, though, because the fact that he's like, you know what, man? This is the only way we're going to make plays. I'm just going to have to throw it up.
Shotgun, no huddle.
And we're going to have to throw it up there. And you know what, guys? Just go and make a play.
Do you think after the game, Kubiak came up to him and said, all right, forget about being under center. Just go in the shotgun.
Well, you know, because he's not – I mean, he's never been the most mobile guy. But I'll tell you what was really telling for me. And, again, he's always kind of sort of had happy feet. He's had very active feet. I don't want to say happy feet, but active feet. He's always had very active feet. And the thing with Peyton Manning, and that first quote-unquote sack that he took, where he literally just fell down because he's like,
you know what? It's a business decision. It was going to be a sack. Why take the hit?
Was it, though? I mean, look, the Peyton Manning of old, I think, would have tried to stand in there and maybe try to take a throw And at the very last second, if the guy gets on him, all right, he's going to go down. But, man, the guy just hit the turf and said, you know what, dude, I'm done.
Yeah, but it's not Peyton Manning of old. It's old Peyton Manning.
Right, so exactly.
That's why he just laid down.
The one thing I looked at just watching that game last night, and at some point probably in the second quarter, I said to myself, this offense is in trouble. Because
in trouble.
They can't run the ball, at least not right now. I mean, we were talking before the show, C.J. Anderson in two games has, 24 carries, 56 yards so far this season?
Yep.
Peyton still looks sketchy. The defense, obviously, in terms of actual football, is keeping them in games, and the defense looks like a great fantasy play right now.
Absolutely.
But offensively, this offense is in a lot of trouble right now.
Demaryius Thomas, I think, as a trickle-down effect, is he in trouble as well?
No, I don't think so, especially after what we saw last night. He's good enough to make plays even when Peyton Manning might not be the most accurate quarterback. Because, as I just mentioned, there were a few plays last night where Peyton just threw it up, and Demaryius came down with it, despite the fact that he was defended by one or two players.
What was Demaryius's final line?
Like 8 for 116, I think.
So he had 116. 55 or more of it came in one drive.
14 targets.
And so, again, Alex, you were mentioning it. If this was one of those games that got away real quick, if a couple of those balls were intercepted, and one could have been another pick six.
Yeah, the one that tipped, I think Marcus Peters tipped
exactly.
It, and then I think it might have been Ron Parker, one of the other safeties, was trying to grab it out of the air and beeline to the end zone and missed it by like a hair.
It's so funny, too, because, you know, I'm watching the game with my wife. She's like, oh, my gosh, how does that guy not intercept that? I'm like, listen, there's a reason they're playing defense.
Yeah.
All right. If he was adept at catching that ball. But no, really, though, I mean, that really could have been another pick six. And I'm thinking of game flow here, if that was another pick six, if this game got totally out of control, does Demaryius make those plays late in the game? I don't know if he does. He could have easily, in my mind, finished the game with 60 yards.
Probably.
It was looking that way for a long time.
Yeah, probably. By the way, I know we don't talk a lot of IEPs on this show, but I would say that after 2 weeks, Marcus Peters
is
looking solid. I mean, he had the pick six
legit
last night.
Yeah.
The first game. I mean, for all you out there playing in IDP leagues, look at Marcus Peters if he's still available.
Yeah, I think you brought up a great point in terms of fantasy defenses. Denver's defense, man, holy cow, they're getting after it. They're looking nasty.
Yep.
So they look great. So they're definitely, if they haven't been added, they probably already have. But if they're on the waiver wire, they're definitely worth an add. Oh, by the way, speaking of, we never give kickers love on the show, but Brandon McManus is starting to look like the real deal
when your offense can't get into the end zone, you're going to score a lot
of
points.
That's great. And honestly, typically if you remember Connor Barth last year, he was really good in fantasy, and then they released him, and they kept McManus, and he is reaping the benefits.
He's got 8 games in Denver.
In thin air.
Right? So, he's not – and we saw in week one, too, him knocking down 50-yarders like they were going out of style. But, you know, at KC, too, though, they had no problems lining him up for a 55 or what was it, a 56-yarder?
Right.
That he hit?
Well, and he was originally – I mean, Fab talked about Connor Barth being there. McManus was on the roster as their kickoff specialist. He was the guy who could boom the kickoffs through the end zone. So he obviously has the leg, and now if he adds the accuracy to it, it's going to be great. And I'm looking forward to the day the NFL puts a team in Mexico City so we have another thin-air kicker that we can draft.
Or they could put him in, Albuquerque?
Albuquerque is elevated as well.
Right, so there you go. I don't believe the Albuquerque franchise will be happening anytime soon.
And I just feel bad for Jamaal Charles in this game, too, because he
100%
played his tail off and 100%. Looked amazing. And he had the fumble in the red zone, and then he had the fumble at the end, and it's just like, ugh.
Yeah,
also, as a Kelce owner, I was like, let's go. One more drive. Let's get some points.
Speaking of the Chiefs, what did I tell you about Jeremy Maclin? It's coming true. 2 games, he's done nothing.
I really thought this was going to be the week.
The curse of Andy Reid when it comes to wide receivers.
I really thought this would be the week they would throw a touchdown pass to a receiver.
Well, they tried to have him throw a touchdown pass, which was baffling.
Baffling.
But I think part of it, too, is this week it was the curse of Chris Harris and Aqib
Talib,
one of the best cornerback tandems in
the
league.
Well, what was it last week?
How about that?
It was
5.2 points last week, 5.2 points this week.
J.J. Watt. It was J.J. Watt. He was everywhere.
J.J. Watt was covering.
He was just everywhere.
Jeremy Maclin hasn't seen his talents decline in less than a year. He's in Andy Reid's offense, and Alex Smith is his quarterback. Bottom line, you can't start him as more than a 3, and even then, you're rolling the dice until he turns it around or Andy Reid starts targeting him some more.
I think if Jeremy Macklin's your 3, I think you're in pretty good shape. I mean, you're right. He's a 3 right now, but boy, he's a three with tremendous upside. He's faced two, the Chiefs have faced two really tough defenses. I tend to agree. I think he's got, look, I get it. Andy Reid has not necessarily.
Wait, the Texans gave up like 24 fantasy points to Alex Smith. I mean,
yeah, because
you know.
Travis Kelce just stomped all over.
Okay,
that.
But against their defense.
And they had that blown coverage against Kelce.
Okay, but that's their defense.
Yeah, but they locked up Macklin and Kelce reaped the reward.
I would say that, look, Houston's got a very good real-life defense. Whether or not they're giving up fantasy points is, you know, I'm just saying they faced off against two very good defenses. I'd like to see them, the Chiefs, when they face, you know, a defense with not a J.J. Watt or an Aqib Talib or something like that, see how he performs. But well, I agree with you. Right now he's a wide receiver three, but I think he's got tremendous upside.
Well, it's going to be a couple weeks for that because next week they are on the road at Green Bay. Week after that they're on the road in Cincinnati. But week five.
No, Green Bay can be had. Yeah, I think Green Bay can be had.
Maybe. But then in week five, the Bears come to Arrowhead Stadium.
Hello. That's a good play.
Start your Jeremy Macklin's in week five.
All right, so there we go. What's the final verdict here on Peyton Manning? More confidence, less confidence, about the same, which is not a not
about
a
the
lot
same.
Maybe a little less.
Well, because, a little less.
Well, Marcus and I were talking about too. Yeah. He's already thrown like 85 passes this year, and the whole point of Gary Kubiak in this offense was to keep him not to use the expression pitch count, but to like not have him throw himself out before week 14 again. Right. And here he is just slinging it all over the place. So I have concerns about him moving forward. If I'm a Manning owner, which I'm not in any of my leagues,
right.
If I was, to our listeners, I would go and try and find, trade for, or pick up a solid second option and keep him on your bench.
I think part of the big issue right now is because they cannot run the football. I mean, my thought coming into the season was that you were going to see a lot more C.J. Anderson,
right?
Maybe some Ronnie Hillman the first few weeks to try and keep Peyton fresh for that playoff run in November, December. But because they haven't been able to move the ball on the ground, then it has fallen on Peyton's arm to try to make things happen there. And it's a bad situation.
I think when C.J. By the way, this is the last point I'll make, but C.J. Anderson, when he got a little space, I thought he still looked fine. I didn't have any problem with the way he was running. He ran still decisively north-south as much as he could. It's just that the line wasn't really giving him the openings to kind of get in there. I was really excited about C.J.A. Coming into the season because of the whole Gary Kubiak thing and because Peyton was starting to age a little bit, you figured he was going to get a lot of the looks. He has gotten a lot of carries and a lot of looks. It's just nothing's materialized. Anyways, we move on. In H-Town, the Houston Chronicle reports that Arian Foster somehow has miraculously returned to practice. He returned to practice on Thursday. Coach B.O.B., Bill O'Brien, told reporters, quote, "I wouldn't expect him this week, but you never know."
Oh, man. Please. I have Arian Foster in, I think, five leagues. And when he comes back, yes. And I also have Le'Veon Bell in a lot of those leagues, too. So when those two guys come back together.
You're going to be loaded.
Oh, man. Giddy up.
Arian Foster, do you believe, I mean, look, you returned to practice, but do you believe the reports that he'll be able to play, you know, week three, week four, Alex Gilhart?
I'm optimistic. Like, he's practicing. That's the biggest indication that he's coming back. When we hear these blowhardy stories, like the coach is like, yeah, he's looking great in rehab. He's working really hard. Means nothing.
Means
if he's on the practice field, that's a huge indicator that he's going to come back sometime in the not-too-distant future. So I'm optimistic. I have Foster in a couple leagues, too, and I can't wait.
Does he return to be a top-10 fantasy running back?
Yep.
I think he's going to get all of the touches. I mean, they're changing quarterbacks in week two. You know? Like,
right.
They don't believe in whoever's under center. I mean, like, you know, and James, you and I were talking about this, you know, after Fantasy Live one day, and you were talking about how, you know, Brian Hoyer's not the answer, and, you know, I can't believe it. And my response to you was, all right, maybe not, but Ryan Mallett couldn't beat out Brian Hoyer in training camp. So what does that say?
Another thing, you know, that you have to remember, too, is that this team ran the ball more than any other team in the entire league last year.
Okay.
Bill O'Brien likes to run it, and they're not going to give Arian Foster some sort of rest for some sort of playoff push.
No.
He is the guy who's going to get them to the playoffs if they're going to get there. So Foster will be the bell cow.
I'm
going to
go on record and disagree with all of you wholeheartedly. I think Arian Foster, either they limit him in his return, burning fantasy owners all over the place, and if he does return to a full variety of work, I imagine re-injury is a very serious concern. and again, could leave fantasy owners in the cold. I hope it doesn't. I love Arian Foster. I think he's a very interesting dude. The NFL needs more Arian Fosters because he's such a thoughtful man. But in terms of fantasy, I'm not buying it, man. I'm absolutely not.
He's too talented for me to operate under some auspice of fear like that. They're like, oh, man, he might get re-injured. If he's healthy and he's starting for the Texans, he's in my lineup.
No doubt about it.
Even if he gets 15 touches, he's going to do a hell of a lot more with those 15 touches than Alfred Blue or Chris Polk would do with 30.
Bang, bang.
Chicken and shrimp.
I think that is true. But again, I worry about re-injury, and I think his productivity will decline. But anyways, regardless, we move on. LeSean McCoy left practice Thursday in Buffalo after re-aggravating his sore hammy. It's an injury that's bothered him all preseason. How worried are you guys about his production Sunday versus the Patriots, a team that just gave up like a bajillion points, rushing yards, to D'Angelo Williams?
Very worried, because what have we heard about LeSean McCoy over the last 4 weeks? Hamstring injury.
Toe injury.
And then we see him in the first game.
Get vultured twice.
Right, two vultures. And he did score a 12-yard touchdown that was brought back because of a penalty. But there's been no positives about McCoy for the last month. None. I mean, the only positive we saw was that he actually played last week, because we weren't sure. So I am a little worried about McCoy. We all loved him because of the volume, but we all had reservations about him basically on every other subject when it came to McCoy's potential fantasy value.
Speaking of volume, 17 carries in week one, 41 yards, less than 3 yards a carry. So he actually did get a good amount of work. 17 carries for LeSean McCoy, and plus they threw it to him a number of times through the air as well. He had 87 total yards, so he wasn't it's not like he was a bust in week one. But I tell you what, if he added that 12-yard touchdown, he would have had a tremendous day. I don't know if we would be as worried as we are right now, but no, you're right, Fabs. You know, we've been worried about the guy. I remember when the trade went down, I absolutely just hated it for him. Absolutely hated it for him. And it's for all the reasons you mentioned. You know, I don't think he's a great fit for this quote-unquote ground-and-pound system. But, Wiz, what are your thoughts on LeSean on Sunday? Again, he's taking on a defense that can be had.
I'm extremely worried that he's missing practice now. I was worried about him before the season. Even though he was going to get volume, I didn't like it. I was kind of with you with not being a fit, and the injuries are a concern. And I don't know, if I have other options despite the matchup, I'm probably looking elsewhere, because I have a bad feeling. They've also talked about how Carlos Williams is going to get more work as well. And if they're worried about Shady's hamstring and stuff, they're probably not going to say he's going to go on a pitch count or anything, but it might be a case where he and Carlos split close to 50-50, and I don't want any part of that.
Yeah, I thought this was a week that I was actually going to get excited about Shady
until the story
about the hamstring came out. Now I'm back to being concerned again. I mean, you want to talk about just a guy who has fallen off quickly. I mean, it was, what, two seasons ago that he was
the guy. Last year, people were drafting at number one overall.
Yeah, and so it is. Life comes at you fast.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know what to do with this.
Just ask anybody who drafted C.J. Anderson.
Pretty much.
A year after they drafted Monte Ball. Remember when it was fun to draft Broncos running backs?
Oh, Clayton Portis, where have you gone?
Yeah, man. Even like Reuben Drones, Orlandis Gary, Tatum Bell. They all were good, and some were great, like Clinton. But now I'm just venting because I have C.J. Anderson, and he's killing me. Sorry,
right,
guys.
There you go. All right, so we go from Buffalo.
I feel like you just were patting him on the back, like, there you go. It's okay.
I need that pat.
Get it out.
Let it out.
Let the hate flow. We go from one Buffalo running back to a former Buffalo running back in C.J. Spiller, who was a limited participant in practice Wednesday. Remember, he's coming off that knee scope. Saints head coach Sean Payton, when asked about his availability versus the Bucs on Sunday, said, quote, "We will see ...
Dun, dun, dun."
Thanks for nothing.
The Bucs defense, obviously, not great.
Can be
bad. Not great.
That's
not
kind
great.
Of
that,
you,
that,
James.
That's like saying that that Superman Returns was, you know, not great. It was terrible.
I would imagine that Mark Ingram's going to get a good amount of work here. We saw Kyrie Robinson last Sunday as well. I thought he played pretty well. C.J. Spiller, I imagine he's going to be sitting on a lot of benches this week again. No?
I don't know. I mean, I think if he plays,
if he's active,
I would give him a shot.
PPR,
you know?
Flex.
Right. What was crazy about last week is that Mark Ingram had 80 receiving yards. He had, like 8 catches.
He led the team in targets.
He had 90 receiving yards.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, that was supposed to be he was supposed to be the running back, and he was supposed to be the pounded, you know, between the tackles sort of guy. And then, you know, either C.J. Spiller, maybe Kyrie Robinson or somebody like that was going to be the pass-catching back.
Right.
That Ingram is going out and getting targeted and catching passes. That changes the whole equation.
It's good to see that he can do it.
It's good to see he can do it, but it also changes this whole equation about what the Saints are doing there.
Well, doesn't that lead you to put C.J. Spiller on the bench even more?
No, because remember they had Kyrie Robinson mixed into that backfield last week where Ingram was the guy, but that's not Ingram's role. I really don't think that's going to be Ingram's role. Now we know that if Spiller misses time, which, you know, he tends to miss time, Ingram can come in and catch 5-6 passes out of the backfield and help you in a PPR league, but once Spiller comes back, I do think the roles will be redefined where Ingram is, as Marcus said, the guy who's going to be the early down, the gasher, the goal line back, and then you're going to see C.J. Spiller come in and play the Reggie Bush, Darren Sproles, Pierre Thomas role.
All right, in Indianapolis, the hotel, T.Y. Hilton, missed practice Thursday. He's still day-to-day and considered a, quote, game-time decision, the dreaded game-time decision. But this is for Monday night, man. Is he worth the risk?
Can't play him unless you have Moncrief.
Yeah. Somebody asked me this question. They're like, should I start Brandon Coleman or like wait and pray with T.Y. Hilton? I'm like, I can't. I can never advise the wait and pray strategy because it just hurts so much. If you're like, come on, come on, come on, and then Monday comes up and it's inactive.
Or even if he does play and is not 100% and he's just kind of like hobbling around out there.
Right.
And, you know, and yeah, I mean, ask all those Calvin Johnson owners last year who watched him hobble around as a decoy for a couple of weeks and just they all tore their hair out. So, I don't know. I'm with these guys. Unless you've got Dante Moncrief, I would stay away.
Speaking of Monday night, did you see a story on the New York Post? Brandon Marshall says if he had a fantasy football team, he would choose Chris Ivory with his first round pick.
He keeps talking him up.
Every week he's on this show. Every week.
I love it.
I know. It's crazy. He went on to say, quote, I'm shocked that the world really doesn't know about him, except for Alex Gelhar. I'm excited for him, says Brandon Marshall. The Jets play the Colts on Monday. And, oh, by the way, a little of NFL history for you. The last time Marshall played in Lucas Oil there in Indy, he only went to set the single game record for receptions. 21 catches.
Jay Cutler.
200 yards. 2 touchdowns. By the way, not Jay Cutler.
Not Jay Cutler?
The quarterback was?
Kyle Orton.
Kyle Orton.
Wow, okay.
Wow.
He only completed 29 passes in that game, by the way.
21 of them to Brandon. I remember that. I remember that game.
Brandon Marshall. That is insane.
That's right. There was a time when Orton in Chicago and then Orton in Denver was like very viable in fantasy.
At what point, I mean, in a game like that, does your secondary just not bear hug Marshall every time he comes off the line of scrimmage?
By the way, so what is that in PPR? So it's 20 for the yards, 21. So it's 41 already just on the catches, and then another 12. So 53?
I think that's where your math went, yeah.
53 fantasy points?
Pretty good, right?
That's insane. Not cool, dude.
Insane.
Can you imagine going against that in PPR? You're like, dude, this is not cool.
That's when you close the laptop.
That's a wrap.
You go to the fridge, you get a beer, and you just watch football.
We're going to try again next week.
I experienced that, 2 years ago with Jamal Charles against the Raiders?
Oh, yeah.
51.
Five touchdowns.
And then in Doug Martin's rookie year, I think he had 53 against the Raiders, and I was playing him that week, too, in one of my leagues. I remember. It's painful.
That's crazy stuff. By the way, on the other sideline, it was Peyton Manning, the running back there, the mighty Joe Adai.
Joe Adai.
If he adies, he adies.
Nice. nice.
I stole that from my fantasy football league. There's a guy in there and it's the mighty A-League, we call it. The A-League is there's a manager there who just comes up with these crazy names. I love it. Anyways, we move on. All right, week 2 matchups that excite us. How about this? And we'll start, I don't know, we'll start there in Buffalo. Deion Lewis, an interesting name, certainly. 120 total yards. What about the LeSean McCoy, Carlos Williams, running backfield there in New England as well? Have we kind of beat that one to death? If you guys want to talk about Deion Lewis, let me know.
I mean, Carlos Williams isn't the bad play. I mean, especially if McCoy isn't 100%, if he's gimpy, if he sits out especially. But, you know, if you're really struggling for a running back, if you need a flex maybe, Carlos Williams isn't the bad play, I think.
And if McCoy sits, get Carlos Williams into every lineup possible.
And honestly, like, forget about name. Last week I had people freaking out about, I'm not starting Benny Cunningham. And look at how well he did.
Played well.
Sometimes it's all about opportunities and volume, and a guy doesn't have to be a – heck, Sam Congato was the king of this, right? Remember Sam Congato? You remember
him?
Wow.
Of course I remember him.
Remember him? I mean, that was about, what, 8 years ago or something like that.
The Packers back. Yeah, it would have been like –
he had a stretch where he had more fantasy points. It was like a four-week stretch than LaDainian Tomlinson.
Oh, yeah.
This guy was the hottest player in the whole league. And I remember there was a week where he was playing the Eagles. They were ridiculously bad against the run. And he had a really bad game. And people were like, oh, that's it. And then the next week he came out, had a huge game.
Yeah, he had like three touchdowns against Atlanta that year. It was crazy.
Sometimes when you have an opportunity, you make the most of that opportunity. So you guys are dead right. If McCoy can't play... If he's playing, then forget Carlos Williams. But if McCoy can't play, Williams becomes a really, really good flex, even though he doesn't have the sexiest name.
He doesn't? Carlos with a K sounds pretty sexy.
Is that like Co with a K?
Well, that's not, no.
As for Deion Lewis, you mentioned, though, Co, too. This is the kind of game against this defense where he could see a lot of work, too, and a lot of volume
in the
passing game.
But I was about to ask you, though. LeGarrette Blount comes back in week two. Rex Ryan even said, hey, look, I'm not even preparing for Deion Lewis. I'm preparing for LeGarrette Blount.
It's Rex, all right? He's gonna stomp and wave his arms around in the media or whatever, but he's preparing for Deion Lewis.
Okay.
He'd be a fool not to. Deion Lewis... Of all the running backs with like his level of touches in week one, Deion Lewis forced the most missed tackles of any running back in the league.
It's also the Steelers secondary, though.
So it doesn't matter. Like, he still juked everybody out of their shoes and broke tackles for a small guy. He's especially in PPR, he's a great flex play, and I could be convinced in standard to even throw him out there.
MG, I see a look of disdain on your face.
No, I can get down with Deion Lewis. I just
not saying he's the best flex play, but like if you're in a deeper, like 12 or 14 team league.
All right.
Yeah, I just I worry that we're back to Patriots again. hashtag Patriots. Bellatrix will be back at it again.
That's what I'm worried about, man.
You know, but it goes back to, I know, you know, the franchise said this earlier in the preseason that, hey, if there's a running back you trust right now, Deion Lewis might be the guy.
That's kind of scary. I'm not going to lie. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about Detroit. We got to talk about fantasy darling Ameer Abdullah, man.
Yes, love him.
Seven carries, 50 yards last week and a touchdown. He also added 44 through the air. I mean, what is not to like about Ameer Abdullah
versus
Minnesota?
The only thing we don't like is that Joik Bell is still seeing any kind of work in that backfield.
I don't mind.
Even Theo Riddick is seeing some work. Abdullah should be a guy who's touching the ball 20 times a game. He should be. And I'm not talking about him being a featured back to the extent of a Marshall Faulk or a LaDainian Tomlinson, you know, spell him every once in a while with Bell. But this matchup here against the Vikings, who were absolutely made fools of on Monday Night Football by Hyde, great matchup. I don't like Joik Bell in this game. He's in the sit-em category on my column. But Abdullah is a stardom.
Can I get on RB2. Soapbox real quick?
Do it up.
Dear Jim Caldwell, take Ameer Abdullah off of punt and kick returns, please, for the love of all that is holy. He is like the most talented player on your roster right now. Do not throw him out to the dogs on those.
What have I been saying?
And soapbox rant.
What have I been saying about Jim Caldwell, though? Not a great offensive coach.
He doesn't
Not a great offensive
he
coach.
He does have the grandson of one Vincent Lombardi running his offense, though. So he's a good offensive coach. Came from New Orleans.
All right. We go from Detroit taking on Minnesota to, as Fabs mentioned, the team that just destroyed Minnesota, at least on the ground. How about Carlos Hyde, man? Oh, my gosh.
Well, I think it's another good week to start Carlos Hyde.
Versus Pittsburgh?
I mean, it's another
good
week.
Oh, my gosh.
To start Carlos Hyde. One, that offensive line for San Francisco was, they were monsters up front, which surprised a lot of people. And more than that, it looked like the Niners are going back to that power run game. And maybe that's what you get when you have a defensive-minded coach like Jim Tomsula kind of running things there. Maybe they just want to be that power. Because, I don't know, I just always have this feeling that defensive coaches as head coaches tend to want to just run the football more. Maybe because they realize that's what wears down a defense. Maybe that's how they go with things. But they were a power run team on Monday night against Minnesota, and they continue to do that. Carlos Hyde, I think, has another big week this week.
I don't know why, man. I mean, just watching that dude play, I'm just like I said, if we did a redraft this week and I've got a top four pick, I'm taking Carlos
James
Hyde.
James is infatuated
with
Carlos Hyde right
now. I am all about it, man. Carlos Hyde, oh my gosh.
You know who else I like in this matchup, though, is Anquan Boldin. I think he should be able to feast against that Pittsburgh secondary in the middle of the field.
Right.
I mean, Torrey Smith's going to be boom or bust, as always. It depends if he can get his deep shot, but Anquan Boldin wouldn't surprise me if he had like 8 or 10 catches.
Torrey doesn't have a good trend historically against Pittsburgh, so yeah, Boldin is the better of the two plays there.
In PPR especially. I mean, in PPR, Bolden's got a real chance. I mean, you want to talk about daily fantasy? I love
Bolden's
a guy like
Anquan.
Yeah,
great.
You're
going
to be able
fantasy.
To get him on the cheap, man. Carlos Hyde, can we get a projection for Carlos Hyde against Pittsburgh's defense?
I don't know. Probably.
I mean, I feel like another 150 total yards is totally within reach.
I was going to say 100 and a touch.
I'll say 150 and a touch.
Man.
I'm going in.
James is all in.
I'm going all in.
I was
going
to give him 110 and two touches.
Yeah. Woo.
Watch him get 12 yards. Hain playing Jared Hain is the one that rips off all the yards just to spite us on the
Hain
podcast.
Bottom line is, I am definitely 100% for sure going to be following that blogger.
Oh, my God. He was amazing.
He's incredible.
Because you looked it up after the podcast earlier this week,
and it was
right?
dope.
Oh,
man.
My God. It was so
good. It was
good.
Dope. It was so funny. I legit LOLs.
Yeah. Oh, no. I was like, crying on my couch reading the live blog as I was watching that game.
All right. How about ATL taking on the New York Giants, Julio Jones? Can he follow up? And I'm sure he will. 9 catches, 141 yards, 2 touchdowns. I don't know if he gets to those levels again, but boy.
Well, keep tabs on his status, first of all.
He's got a hammy.
He's dealing with a little hammy. But he's expected to practice on Friday.
Look, are they going to amputate?
If he doesn't practice today, then you've got a concern on your hands there. But I think he will practice today. You know the player I like in this game that no one's talking about is Eli Manning. I know he wasn't good last week, but Atlanta's defense is not good against the pass. I don't know if they're good against the run either, but this is a game where I think Eli Manning in daily fantasy could be a steal. And I like both quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The Giants' defense is banged up. JPP obviously is out for a long time, at least it seems like it. And this could be a high-scoring game there.
Should be.
You know what didn't help Eli Manning last week, too, was that his defense scored a bunch. So mm-hmm. It kept him off the field. He didn't have the need to throw a bunch. And also, they inexplicably kept throwing to Preston Parker instead of Beckham, which I'm going to guess they changed. I also like Rashad Jennings in this game a little bit.
Yeah.
The Eagles were able to take it to the Falcons on the ground. I think Jennings, is an excellent flex option this week, too.
100% agree. I mean, Julio Jones obviously is going to – I would imagine he's still going to feast. I mean, you know, they're moving him all around the field. ATL's defense is improved, but still not great.
They've got some holes.
Right.
Also, speaking of ATL, your boy Tevin Coleman.
Oh my god,
he'd
gosh.
Be a good start this week as well.
Oh my god.
Now we know who the starter, the bell cow is going to be in that offense. It's Tevin Coleman. It's
I like the way he's running, man.
I was impressed because watching him at school, the one knock was that he was the home run guy. He couldn't break tackles or make people miss. He actually broke some tackles.
That's
like
right.
draft Twitter was like, oh my god, it happened in that game. So it was good to see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to break tackles when you're running behind that Indiana offensive line. Like I said, man, the reason I was so big on Tevin Coleman, and I'm so upset I didn't get him in that LOL league of mine. Oh, I'm so upset I didn't get him. But I have him in almost every single format. Now, I know I've overdrafted him for sure in every single league just so I could make sure I get him. But, you know, just that explosiveness. You think about the weapons on the outside. You really can't stack the box. Man, I know he only had, what do you have, 80 total yards?
80 yards on 20 carries.
By the way, so I've got him I've got him on my March to 1,100 guy. So 1,100 total yards by the end of his 15th game. So that's the end of week 16, I believe. So the end of week 16, just so we could get it on the show. I think he's got a real shot at 1,100. I don't know how many touchdowns he's going to get, but I do like Tevin Coleman. I think he's a tremendous fit in that Kyle Shanahan offense. I've been preaching on this guy for way too long. We're going to move on here. But how about the Saints versus Tampa Bay, man? I mean, there's got to be some fantasy points to be had there. Brandon Coleman
Start
everybody.
Breeze is going to light that team up.
Yeah.
This should be a good bounce back game for Cooks, too.
Cooks will light that team up, the running backs. I think you're starting Doug Martin, too. The Saints defense is not great, and they're all banged up.
What's Mike Evans' status? Does anybody know yet?
It looks like it's going to happen for him this week.
Forget if he practiced or not.
I think it's going to happen for him this week unless he has a setback.
Okay.
So you get him into your lineup. Vincent Jackson's a three, especially in PPR leagues. He gets a lot of targets against the Saints historically over the last few years. And I'm not playing Jameis Winston, but I will tell you this. I have the Saints defense ranked in the top five this week.
They're a frisky play for sure.
They are
at home against them. Granted, their defense has a ton of holes, but man, you got to like them as a streaming option this week.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And Mark Ingram too. I was watching that game on my day off, and he ran really hard. He only got 9 carries, and he had nowhere to go against that stout Arizona front. He should have some more holes, and with New Orleans being at home and likely going to get ahead, he could see a lot of carries just salting away a win here.
Yeah, I think that's the bigger thing because you know, if Jameis is what Jameis was last week, then this one could get out of hand early if Breeze starts throwing touchdowns all over.
Also, so far, Mike Evans was limited in practice this week.
There you go.
So, good sign. He could probably play.
All right. So, I see a note here. This is a Gelhar special. Ryan Fitzpatrick versus Indianapolis. Why the beard versus the Colts?
This is a little more of a DFS play because he's a value, but he performed pretty well last week, and they were up the entire game, so he only had like 24 pass attempts against Cleveland. And he's got his great weapons. If you're in a bigger league or need a 2 QB option, Ryan Fitzpatrick, especially because Cromartie might not play. Depends who gets Revis Island, but it's probably going to be Brandon Marshall is lost on Revis Island. But
no, that would be impossible. It would be Andre Johnson.
Oh, I'm flipped. Sorry, excuse me. I'm totally spun around. I need more coffee this morning.
Yeah.
But Vontae Davis was who I was saying. That's not an
there
island. That's maybe a hotel.
Is it a peninsula?
A peninsula? An isthmus, maybe? So Brandon Marshall's probably going to get locked down by Vontae Davis, who erased Sammy Watkins
last
week. That was
not cool. That was not cool.
However, Fitzpatrick...
He was a healthy scratch, essentially.
Yeah,
Sammy Watkins.
Basically. Fitzpatrick and Decker could make some noise. They're an interesting stack in DFS.
Look, I'm in a 2 QB league, and I'm giving Ryan Fitzpatrick a spin this week.
Exactly. That's why he's not here.
I'm giving him a spin this
week. Wanted to
that's
go like a little deeper. Didn't want to just
get
all
our chalk. You're looking for garbage time?
That's like a danger zone pick.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, too. The Jets are probably not going to win this game. Andrew Luck's going to be angry, so they're going to be trying to catch up. They're going to be slinging it. He could provide some nice value.
What are you guys telling me?
I need points. I need to do the Ryan Fitzpatrick pick for my my danger zone guy on Sundays.
Might be.
There you go.
By the way, it's the battle of the beards and brains. Andrew Luck, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ooh, well, wait a minute. Harvard, which is the brains of those
two? The Harvard versus the Harvard of the West.
Well, they both have
they
beards.
Both have Harvard, beards. They both have brains.
That's what I'm saying.
What
it's
saying.
The matchup of the beards and brains, pal.
Okay, I thought you said versus.
No.
Beards and brains matchup.
Okay.
Also, the other Gelhar special on here, I'll get to it before we jump, is the Danny Woodhead pick. Danny Woodhead got all of the red zone touches for the Chargers
in week one.
They trust him there. They have packages there.
Yep.
In another, what's probably going to be another close game with the Bengals, Danny Woodhead's probably not going to get 2 touchdowns again.
I would doubt.
But he could very easily get, 60 to 90 yards and maybe a touchdown. So he's a very solid flex play. I think he's a weekly starter at a flex in standard right now, too.
Oh, in PPR, he's...
In PPR, no doubt.
No doubt.
But even in flex, he's going to get his touchdowns.
All right, if you have Melvin Gordon and Danny Woodhead on the same fantasy team, start one. Who do you start?
Oh, Woodhead.
Come on, it's not even close.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, Melvin Gordon's not even...
It's crazy.
I don't think he's startable. I mean... Right now, you consider that Danny Woodhead is getting goal line looks? He's getting goal line looks. We're talking about a 5'6 dude getting goal line looks.
Is he that short?
No, he's 5'8.
That's what I like to tell people. I'm not 5'6, I'm 5'8.
The thing is, Gordon did have that really nice touchdown run called back last week. And if he gets that touchdown, it was like a 20-some yard run. That's another 8 points. We're looking at his week total completely differently.
Yeah, you're probably right.
However, I still think given the disparity at the running back position and how much of a headache it can be, if somebody's going to be guaranteed to get as many touches as Danny Woodhead, I would rather toss them in at my flex than,
I was just disturbed by the fact that, they got down there first and goal quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
and they give Melvin Gordon 0 looks. 0.
Right. And, I think the point's been made. I've heard several people make this point that, Phillip Rivers does not suffer fools lightly. And if you aren't on board, if you don't know what you're doing down there, he doesn't necessarily want you in the huddle or on the field. And I think right now, Melvin Gordon, not to say that he can't pick this up and be that guy, but he's still trying to figure things out. Whereas Danny Woodhead knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And when you get down near the goal line, you need 6 points. I think Phillip Rivers would much rather have Danny Woodhead in that huddle.
And the coaches. Gordon even said in the offseason, he said when Woodhead came back, he was like, I'm going to a football masterclass in the backfield with him because he was learning so much from Woodhead, because Woodhead always knew what was going on and who was coming where and where to pick up the blitz, and that's why Rivers and the coaches slide him in the important area.
Melvin Gordon, man, you got to bench him. You have to bench. I just don't see value.
Not this week,
for Melvin Gordon.
Not this week.
Yeah, Cincinnati's defense is pretty good, too. All right, any other Gilhar specials?
I think that's about it for now.
Let's talk about matchups that scare us here. Latavius Murray, no doubt, versus Baltimore. Amari Cooper, really, too. I mean, look, I get it. Derek Carr got hurt in the second quarter. Amari Cooper's value just hit the skids, man. But, Derek Carr, I'm combining them already. Derek Carr still recuperating from that hand injury. We don't know how much he will play. We hope he plays a heck of a lot for Amari Cooper owners. But Amari Cooper and Latavius Murray just scare the bejesus out of him.
Yeah, Cooper against Jimmy Smith, that's a tough matchup.
Especially Matt McGloin might be under center, too.
Nope, no thanks.
And Murray is not someone I could start unless I have no other options, and maybe he's a flex, because that Ravens defense looks
still
pretty good.
Awesome.
I know Baltimore played Denver last week, and we now are seeing that Denver's offensive line is not very good.
Right.
But they held Anderson and Hillman to next to nothing from a fantasy perspective. So Murray is someone who is a major risk this week.
I will say this. Baltimore's defense obviously takes a big step down, though, right, with Terrell Suggs out of there.
I don't know. They had a good rotation going already with Suggs and Courtney Upshaw and Elvis Dumervil. So I think that they're such a good team at drafting and developing, and they just let Haloti Ngata go, and they're already still stout in the middle. I'm not too concerned about their defense taking a step back, missing Suggs. Because isn't Suggs like 33 or something?
No, I get that he's a rotational player at this point, but still an emotional leader in that defense.
He's a very good player, but I think their defense will still be all right.
I feel like we've talked about Latavius Murray, by the way. I don't know. I felt like we had the hype train was going on him early, like at the end of last season and all through the off season.
Yeah.
But I felt like it started to slow down as we got closer to the regular season.
A little bit.
Kind of started to watch this Raider offense, and look, I think there's still potential there. They're a young group, but I don't know. I think I'm kind of off. I don't have Latavius Murray on any of my teams this year, and I think I'm just kind of off him in general at the moment.
You have a Raiders starter jacket, but you don't have Latavius.
I don't have a Raiders starter jacket.
How dare you?
That you're just bringing up bad junior high memories. Thank you.
I used to have.
Bro, you're from Vallejo.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like, I think you're morally obligated to get one guy.
Quick story. Get a Raider? I thought you were a starter jacket.
No. I mean, yes, you're morally obligated to get a Raider starter jacket.
I have Derek Carr on a dynasty team. I think I've got Amari Cooper somewhere. Doesn't that count for something?
Yes, absolutely. I thought you were saying you had no Raiders.
No, I just don't have Latavius Murray.
Okay.
Dude, I used to have that gold Lakers starter jacket. Oh, dude, it was awesome.
That's pretty dope. Where is
it?
It
was awesome.
Oh, you don't have it?
Oh, dude, that was a kid.
Oh.
Yeah, no, but I did have that one. I remember that one? The real bright one?
Absolutely.
You wear the Magic Johnson Converse with those two?
The Magic Johnson Converse.
First of all, if you guys know what Fabs looks
like. Oh, man, Fabs,
can
you get a picture of this?
How does a young Michael Fabiano, he's getting glossed up, man.
My mother might have a gold
Lakers starter jacket with the Magic Johnson chucks?
Let's send a raven to your mother and get her to send us photos.
There is a picture of me wearing a Public Enemy shirt at one point, too.
I can't.
And that was because I liked the shirt, and then at that point they had done that song with Anthrax, Bring the Noise.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, all right, Public Enemy. Yeah, okay, I'll wear the shirt.
I can't even begin to picture Michael Fabiano.
This has been a revealing portion of the podcast. Yeah. Maybe we should get back to some matchups that scare us.
That matchup scares you.
Oh, yeah, Fabs in a Public Enemy shirt.
Absolutely, 100%.
Good segue.
Yes, I love it. I will play Latavius Murray, not with confidence, but I will play him as an RB2, and only because I've invested so much into Latavius. So I think the Baltimore defense takes a step back. I think Oakland might shake loose a little bit, and I'm hoping Latavius Murray will be the beneficiary, or maybe it will be Amari Cooper. I'm not exactly sure, but we'll see. Anyways, Freddie Moores versus St. Louis, and that's stout front seven. That's a scary match.
I was the one that said last week I was worried about Freddie Morris against the Miami front seven, and he played really well against them.
He played really well.
And they gave him the ball. I was so excited to keep seeing little 46 running through the line. But this is worrisome, though. That the front seven, St. Louis probably has the best front seven in all of the NFL right now.
They still gave up, 100 total yards to Marshawn?
Yeah, that's Marshawn, though. Right. That's Marshawn, though.
Right. I've been here.
There you go.
Yes.
Yes. We got it. I was about to do a manual Marshawn Sounder right there, but no, that's good. Yeah, Freddie Morris, any projections for him? 60 total yards maybe?
That sounds about right.
I feel like this might be one of those, like 76-yard no-touchdown games from Freddie Morris that you get. That's nice, but it's not
But
great.
Are you deep enough to bench him?
No.
Even as an RB2/flex?
Probably
just,
not.
Just, it's one of those temper your expectation matchups, I think.
Woodhead over...
Freddie Morris?
Yeah, I'd do that.
I'd do that.
I would do that,
I would,
too.
I would rank him ahead of him.
I would do
him,
that, too.
You know, I find a way to play both of them, right?
Try, yeah, potentially.
I mean, even in your flex.
LeGarrette Blount over Fred Morris?
No. Negative.
No.
I got to see him on the field once more.
It's possible. Dude, look, he could totally go for 200 and two touchdowns. I mean, that's just the way the Patriots – that's the Patriot way. Okay? All right? But, I mean, come on. I don't know. Anyways. Yes, indeed. I do want to talk about this Sunday night matchup. This has got me excited. Packers-Seattle.
Interesting.
It's absolutely going to crush in terms of ratings. I'm super interested just to watch it as a football fan. But from a fantasy perspective, I know there's a lot of hand-wringing over Aaron Rodgers and that wide receiving core as well, and plus Eddie
but
Lacy.
Should there be?
Well, let me ask
Look what they did last week.
Sure.
Benny Cunningham had a really good game, maybe not on the ground, but he caught a lot of passes out of the backfield.
100%. Right.
I mean, Nick Foles had almost 20 fantasy points.
By the way, I got to take that one on the Benny Cunningham thing. I was screaming to the high heavens. Don't play Benny Cunningham. So I'll take that one. I want to address that.
We all got to take our lumps.
No Cam Chancellor. That defense is not the same. It's not as formidable. They're on the road. I would start Rodgers without any trepidation at all. I mean, forget about it. It's Aaron Rodgers. Lacy, I'm starting him.
Yep.
I'm starting Cobb. I don't know how much I love Devontae Adams and James Jones this week. They're more threes as far as I'm concerned. But
I've got real concern over.
I think this could be a high scoring game.
I've got real concerns over Devontae Adams because if they line him up on the Richard Sherman side, which I believe they will,
that could be a problem.
I think they're going to line him up on the Richard Sherman side. I think he just gets completely shut down.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like a Randall Cobb game to me.
I would actually completely disagree because last week Sherman moved around. He's not doing his side anymore, and he played like 70% of his snaps out of the slot. Which could mean they actually put him there to shut down Randall Cobb instead. They've been moving him around a little bit more. This isn't the same old Richard Sherman that just stays along the left sideline and doesn't move. He played a lot of his snaps out of the slot, and they could try and erase Cobb.
I wonder if this was if that's a tricky Pete Carroll maneuver,
or you wonder if this is a Cam Chancellor
Band-Aid,
sort of thing.
You wonder because if they put their best player to help salvage the middle of the field where they have liabilities instead.
Yep. I wouldn't put it beyond Pete Carroll though. To use that St. Louis game, maybe he's using that St. Louis game as a warm up for Richard Sherman to kind of get ready. He had to have looked forward to the Green Bay matchup and said, you know what, we got to get our guys ready for this. And thinking, you know, even if we have a subpar game plan in Week One versus St. Louis, he had to have been relatively confident they could take St. Louis. So the loss was, obviously a shocker to a lot of folks. But I wouldn't put it beyond Pete Carroll that he was using that game to get ready for Green Bay.
Maybe. I think that this isn't a game to be scared of starting people in, though. The Packers' defense is a little suspect, and the Seahawks' defense, as Fab said, is a little suspect as well. Plus, the Packers are historically great in Lambeau with Rodgers under center. Like, they scored 40 points a game there just about last year.
The one thing I will say in behalf of the Packers defense is that the Seattle offensive line hasn't looked good. The offense throughout the preseason really never got clicking at any point.
Right.
And I think, you know, even with Clay Matthews, you kind of move into that middle linebacker spot, he may still be able to get after the quarterback a little bit. Even if he doesn't, he had a great pick against Jay Cutler last week. Mm-hmm. So I think, I think there's some reasons to maybe trust the Packer defense a little bit.
You know, I'm super scared of the Packer defense, only because historically they have really, really struggled against mobile quarterbacks. I mean, we've seen Colin Kaepernick's a Hall of Famer versus the Packers. I mean, it's just insane. But if you've seen Colin Kaepernick, you're just like, it doesn't make sense. But Russell Wilson, obviously a mobile guy as well. I have some real fears in playing the Packer defense.
He did just throw 4 interceptions against them at home the last time they played.
Very good point.
And were it not for that crazy 2-point conversion and other Hail Mary touchdown, he would have.
No
like, if it was a fantasy game in the regular season,
sure.
not good. But yeah, I'm concerned as well. So I think
From an offensive standpoint,
Wilson Lynch. Yeah, Wilson Lynch, good starts this week, I think.
Any concerns for Eddie Lacy? Because again, that Seattle, I know that they've suffered losses, but that Seattle front seven is still decent.
Eddie ran pretty well against them the last time they faced off in the championship game, and I think he's going to be okay. He might not put up 18 points or whatever he had last week again, but you could get in the 10 to the 15 range in a tough matchup at least.
He's too good to bench.
Yeah. See, that's the other
too
part of it.
You're not
going to bench
too
him.
Good, I mean, too good of an offense.
I mean, you had Benny Cunningham last week score 12 fantasy points against Seattle's defense. I think Eddie Lacy's a little bit better than Benny Cunningham.
Slightly.
Just a bit.
Fantasy hipster loves themselves Allen Robinson. But Allen Robinson does not like fantasy or fantasy history. So I ask you this: does he bounce back versus Miami?
He's had a tough go in his first couple weeks.
He had
to play against Josh Norman and the great Carolina defense, and they had him run like all the wrong routes. Matt Harmon did a reception perception on him, and he ran way too many go routes when Robinson is a guy that can get in and out of his breaks quickly. Now he's probably going to get Brent Grimes blanketing him for a whole afternoon. Do not like this year. Don't panic, owners, if you have them in redraft leagues, but it's just a tough start to the season.
Yeah, and how about this for a stat? Wide receivers have scored 16 times in Miami's last 17 games.
That is ungood.
They are tough against wide receivers. So I love Allen, and I think he's going to have a good year, but this is not a week to start him.
Blake Bortles is calling you all kindergartners for questioning what they are doing.
Hey, Blake, throw the ball to the right team, and then you can talk.
The offense.
Shots fired.
Look, beyond what Adam Rank would like to believe in Duval, the offense is not good, man. The offense is just not good.
It's a work
still
in progress.
Still developing.
The Julius injury, I think, really hurt them, not having a threat over the middle, and now the team's keyed in on Allen Robinson, and then it's just a massive trickle-down effect from there.
100% agree. Frank Gore, I have, again, been cautioning fantasy managers from here to the ends of the earth. I was worried about Frank Gore coming to the season. Again, at age 32, and he's got a very tough matchup against the Jets. I don't see him getting back on track.
Hey, Co, you know who was my sit of the week at running back last week?
Would that be Frank Gore?
Yeah, and you know who's my sit of the week this week?
Would that be Frank Gore?
Yep. I don't like him, not against this matchup. No. The gangrene gave up 5.9 fantasy points to Cleveland's running backs last week, and Gore will get it going at some point, but he's had a really, really
Do
bad matchup.
Trust anybody on the Indy offense to outperform maybe their draft position, maybe their expectations.
I mean, Moncrief is a great opportunity this weekend.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't get put on Revis Island, that's a big question.
You would think they're going to put him on AJ, but
that would be what you'd think. But Johnson didn't look great last week, and Todd Bowles might be like, let's put Revis on the more dynamic, athletic receiver and make the old guy beat us.
I would think that because of what they have defensively, it's still a great defense. Todd Bowles, incredibly smart defensive mind.
Great coordinator.
Coach.
Now he's the coach. So
I would imagine that they're going to put Revis on a guy like Moncrief and try to shorten this game up, right? Because the offense still has trouble scoring the ball. I know you love Chris Ivory and all of that, but the bottom line is they're going to have some trouble scoring the football. You got to think they want to shorten this game up. And to do that, even if AJ is beating you inside, I think you live with that if you're Todd Bowles.
I will say this about Frank Gore, though, too. I know it's not a great matchup. I'm not in love with him this week. If in a couple leagues that I have him in, I'm like, he's a flex. I'm not very excited about it. However, he's better than anybody on the Browns roster, regardless of his age. And the Browns running game suffered last week, too, because they had Manziel coughing it up.
Right.
Gore has Andrew Luck under center.
Yeah.
All of those things are going to help. It's not going to be a great week for Gore, but
does Andrew Luck get back on track?
I think he does. In the home opener, after taking one on the chin like that,
funny too. Like, he didn't have a good game last week. He still scored almost 18 fantasy.
Right, that'd be a bad week.
I know.
And right. Also, like, Frank Gore got used a ton in that game last week to start off, but then he had the cramps, and the game script flew away from them because they were getting blown out. Yep. So all of that went against him. He could have a solid game. I'm still not, like I said, I'm not in love with it, but. I'm not terribly worried.
Should we move on to Daily Daps, or you got another Alex Gelhar special on this
week two
matchups?
Well, we had Mariota on here. Don't be chasing points from last week. Don't chase the points.
I tell you what, though, if he does do it again.
If he blows this week, if he blows up this week, then, you know, hey, look, Let's talk. Yeah. Let's get spicy, Mariota.
There were some really funny vines. I feel badly for the Tampa Bay defenders, but there were some really funny vines out there when people were watching the All-22 of them, like, just – there's literally one of their middle linebackers ran around in a circle on the play. Like, he was so lost. Nice. I think it was Kendall Wright's touchdown. He literally just, like, ran around in a circle, and there goes Kendall Wright.
That's why we love the Saints. And Cleveland, too. Like, I don't know that they get enough respect defensively when they're on their home field. They're really tough at home. Maybe things aren't as good for them when they're on the road. But 11 touchdown passes allowed and 10 picks in their last eight games on their home field. So
don't forget, home is where they kind of shut down Breeze and Big Ben last
year.
They
are really good at home. So all right, Mariota is not a good play.
Let's dap it.
Yeah, let's dap it up. All right, our daily dap segment. It's more of like a bi-weekly daps, but bi-weekly daps doesn't sound very good.
Doesn't have a ring
to it.
You know what? I'll kick us off, man. You know, I don't know if the listeners have seen Dave Damashek's Football Baby.
Football Baby, awesome.
You need to Google Dave Damashek Football Baby. I think it's genius. I think it is absolute genius. I don't know how what goes on in the mind of Dave Damashek that he's able to create this thing.
To help frame for people, it started last year because Sheck had an infant son, and he would just sit him up on the couch with like two pieces to represent the teams on the opposite side of him, and whichever way his child fell over,
because
he didn't have the core strength to sit upright by his own yet, that was who Football Baby decided was going to win the game. And Football Baby had a surprisingly good record.
Football Baby was like 13-3 last year.
Football Baby was dope last year.
He started off like 6 or 7-0, I think, because they did a fake like a football life on Football Baby after he started out so
Which was
hot.
Also genius.
Now, however, it's Football Toddler, but it's still funny. Sheck was telling me he's got some new ways for Football Toddler to make his picks.
Oh,
but
my gosh. It is unbelievable.
It's so funny.
I didn't know if he was going to be able to bring it back, but, you know, I've been watching Football Baby now. Yeah, he brought it back.
You studied the Football Baby tape?
Yeah, dude, he brought it back. It's awesome. Go check it out. I absolutely love Football Baby. My daily dap goes to Dave Damashek and Football Baby. Alex Gellhar, how about for yourself?
Well, my daily dap, I was thinking I was going to do something pop culture like I usually do, but I had the thought this morning as I was sitting in here getting everything ready to give a daily dap to all the teachers out there and the educators. Like, the school year just started again.
Sure.
Teachers historically don't get enough credit. They don't get enough pay, all that jazz. So people out there, thank your teachers. If you are a teacher, daily dap to you. You guys crush it. Help, you know, get us all ready for life afterwards.
The dap surprises me not at all. Coming from Alex Gellhar, a well-read man. By the way, every single time I look at Gellhar in his free time, the guy's got a book in his hand. So, you know, a big reason why I call him the whiz kid from Wisconsin. So there you go. MG Marcus Grant, what's up?
I'm giving a dap to, I guess, Google. I know Google's
That wasn't a strong dap at all.
Google?
Well, look, you know, every so often Google, they do their doodles and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Maybe you saw this earlier in the week. This was brought to my attention. Because this is the 30th anniversary of Super Mario Brothers. If you go to Google and you search Super Mario Bros., it brings up the whole little screen. There is a glowing box with a question mark on it.
Oh.
Turn up your sound, click on that box 100 times, and you too will get a 1-up.
Oh, yeah. Is that what you were doing? Marcus Grant and I sit next to each other now, by the way, and I was hearing furious clicking.
Yeah.
I was like, what is
going on? Boy, you got a fast finger there, Marcus.
We were both doing it.
Wow. It's from my Super Tecmo Bowl days, you know?
I was like, I don't know what's going on over there, but I don't have time to figure this out.
Yeah.
And that's what you were doing.
That is what
you were getting 1-ups.
I am 1-upping right now.
I love
getting all sorts of coins.
There you go. How about yourself, Fabs?
Speaking of Google, so I'm going to end up moving at some point in the next probably 4 months, staying in Playa del Rey, which is where I live, and talk to the real estate agent, because Google is moving into Playa Vista. They've bought a whole lot of land in Playa Vista, and there is there's a complex that they're building right now. It's supposed to be like the Grove, sort of.
Google's building a Grove style?
No. Google's bought a lot of land over there, and then there is this Grove type complex
going on.
Which, by
the way, Grove is it's a giant mall out there in Los Angeles, which is where celebrities go.
Restaurants,
entertainment. It's tied to a farmer's market.
It's the place to see and be seen in Los Angeles.
So instead of just looking at renting, I was looking at, well, how much would it cost to buy? And a two-bedroom condo in Playa del Rey is going for $650,000.
I was going to guess higher than
oh
that.
My
I was
going
to say
God.
Higher than that. I was like, that sounds like a bargain.
They turned
that. Dude. Wait, wait, hold on. What's the square footage there?
It's unreal. It's like
1,200
square
feet.
It's like 1,000 square feet.
So wait, what are you dapping, or are you just complaining about real estate in L.A.?
I'm complaining about real estate. Well,
so it's a reverse dap.
It's a reverse dap.
I like it.
So, it, but it's unbelievable because what can you get for $650,000 in Texas? Or
Wisconsin?
South Carolina, or oh my gosh!
I think you can buy Wisconsin for $650,000.
I'm saying,
close.
Unreal.
Close
so I guess my dap was more of a complaint.
Yeah, that's a reverse dap. I like it. I was gonna say though, I was gonna guess even higher because I used to live in Palms, Marcus's hood. Right now, I moved a little outside of it, which is sad. I love Palms, but it's not as nice of an area. It's not as close to the beach as Playa. They turned the apartment complex into mine when I was still living there into 2-bedroom condos.
Yeah.
Like $495,000 was the starting, and they were small.
In Palms?
In Palms.
Wow.
$500K for what, like 1,000 square feet?
Yeah, about.
That's insanity.
Yep.
And so plus, and I'm sure they're just ramrodding you with HOAs, too.
Probably.
But how are we talking? I love the fact that we're talking about real estate on the fantasy podcast.
I think I'd rather pay that than live in Arizona and drive to work from there like some people around
here. That would
do.
Be a hell of a commute.
That would be tough.
That would be tough. All right, hey, that's going to do it for us. a very mixed bag here on the NFL.
Good daps.
I love
good
it.
Good daps.
All right, for Alex Gelhard, the Wiz Kid from Wisconsin, MG Marcus Grant, and the Hall of Famer Michael Fabian, I'm James Coe. We're out of here.